Tonight we're going to be talking about the chakras and energy centers in the body. And we talked about them once before at the beginning of this particular training. And tonight we're going to discuss them a little deeper and give a different awareness of them that you may have had before. Each particular center is a healing center that we work in. In fact, in some of the ancient teachings, there is even a very strict science that tells you the time of the day that these particular chakras are more open than other times. There's also, it tells what temperatures and different temperature changes also makes a difference on how the chakras are open. But today we're not going to be talking in that specific terms, but we're going to cover them in a more universal way. As you know, the base chakra is right at the base of the spine. We have it depicted here. The nerve ganglia, there is another chakra that is lower than this root chakra. It's called primal force chakra. It deals with strictly animal consciousness. And it deals with animalistic energies and some dip down into that primal force of animal consciousness and awaken that instinctive brain. It's a small brain about the size of your fist inside of this brain. And it's an instinctive consciousness. And we're not going to talk about that because we've raised it up in its vibration. It does deal with sexual energies. It does deal with procreation. It deals with creative powers. And it is the seat of Kundalini force, or the awakening consciousness. The Kundalini is an energy that moves over the nervous system. It's the energy that moves over the nervous system in the body. That's called the Kundalini. The divine force that comes in over the nervous system that joins with the Kundalini force is called Shakti, or divine energy. And in the center of this force, right in the very center of it, there is a line of energy that goes up, and it's called Mukti, or spiritual consciousness. And when this Mukti Nanda, or the Mukti is released into bliss, eternal bliss, Ananda meaning liberated bliss, and so when the Mukti, or spiritual consciousness, is liberated, it goes to bliss states of consciousness, and it's the subtlest of consciousness. You probably realize by now that we're not dealing with the gross body of consciousness, but we're dealing with a subtle body here, the subtler and the subtlest. And as your training progresses on the spiritual path, the subtle will become gross, and the gross will become subtle. The things in the world that seem so gross to us and take a lot of our attention now will not take the attention in the way they took it. And the subtle things will become to our attention, and they'll become more gross, meaning you'll be more aware of those than you are of this other, just as the tables are one way this, now they will reverse in their polarities, and so you will get subtler and subtler as you go deeper and deeper and deeper within the gorge of your spine, as they say, fall into the gorge of your spine, the center of the spine. Also moving around the in the center of the spine is a force that is released, a psychic force, and this turns on what they call the psychic nervous system, or the natus. And this psychic nervous system is a very high perceptive, sensitive level. And if this is opened up before the individual is ready, they have a lot of troubles in their life. They start reacting out of how everything that everybody says, they take it personally. And the energy then, they think it's their wrong thoughts, their wrong feelings, their wrong actions when they merge with somebody else and pick that vibration up. So you need to be very objective as you're going into this deeper state of consciousness to the outer world, to the world of objects. The outer world deals with object-subject. It deals with separation, while the inner world deals with subjective energies, unity, all at one. So everything in the inner world is always at one. There is no separation. It's in the state of this oneness. But the outer world always puts someone outside of us. It always puts our loved one outside of us. It always puts everything else outside. And in the Western consciousness, this is the way that people go. Their consciousness reaches out, and they're looking for God out someplace. out in the atmosphere, out in the stars, beyond the stars, and they're looking for God in that way. In the East, they understand that God is within. Christ came and told us God was within, but still the Western mind keeps reaching outside instead of in and in and in. It goes out and out and out. Well, in the full spiritual mind, you have the full extent of moving all the way out and all the way in. And you want to blend the fullness of your spiritual heritage as an individual to have full conscious power over these realms of consciousness. The outer consciousness takes and manipulates form, animates matter. And in the ancient Tao teachings, they knew this power of yin and yang and that. And at night, when they didn't have mortuaries and things like they had now, somebody fell dead on the street, they left them lay there. No one touched them. It was evil to touch them. And even the priests wouldn't touch them. They'd come along and they'd put their spirit energies outside and animate the body, get the body up and march it down to the graveyard and put it in the coffin. And they would animate it by extension of their spirit. This was done in voodoo too, where they animated dead. They would animate that power. That was an outer consciousness, not an inner awareness. And so when the Master Jesus came, he says, we no longer deal with those realms of taking and animating matter in that way. That we are, we have dominion over, we can command it, that we don't have to put our spirit into it, our individual spirit into it. It has a spirit of its own. So some of the ancient practices got perverted because of the egotistic consciousness of man, where he took it and said, I'm doing it, me, my, I. And he started thinking he was controlling things. He was the master, so to speak. And everyone else had to follow him. So you had a lot of physical masters, like Genghis Khan. If you didn't agree with Genghis Khan, he didn't try to change your emotions or your mind. He just eliminated your body. And that took care of the whole thing, you see. Then you had emotional masters that came along, and they decided what they were going to manipulate. Well, they built temples above, and they tried to manipulate that way. They had sexual organs and all these kind of things, and that wasn't it either. Then you had the mental masters, the ones that were cunning and figuring and tactical and all this. Then you had those psychic ones that put their knowledge and force and power over other individuals. We are coming to the point in consciousness now as we raise through the evolution of consciousness to our higher beings, and we are now in the fifth root race of humanity out of seven root races that will manifest upon this planet. This first root race that came here was called the Hyborian race. These were etherical beings, spiritual beings. They were not physical manifestations. They were spirit beings. But they walked the earth and moved on the earth, and they wanted to participate in the earth. And the way they could participate is to merge with earth substance, animals, plants, air, fire, water, all these kind of things. And that's the way they got their experience. But they had reached a point of evolution where they wanted to have the human spirit, wanted to have an experience here upon the earth. And so a body was created for man, put here, and that became the Lemurian race. The Lemurian race of people were on a continent called Mu or Lemuria that was off of the coast of California here and reached over down as far as the Easter Islands, over into the islands near Japan and that area, and up the Hawaiian Islands and that area. And that particular continent had three divisions in it. But it was ruled by one ruling clan of people. And in this continent, they had two coins of the realm. One of them was a copper coin, and one was a silver coin. And it was very interesting. The copper coin was larger than the silver coin, and the copper coin had more value than the silver coin. And in fact, they took silver and they spin it into web-like designs, and they used this for jewelry and things. The priests in those times still held on to the power of spirit to animate matter, and they had a power called Selene, where they would manifest a conjunction of mind, where they would come together with their minds and move objects and raise objects. And many say this is how those statues were raised on Easter Island in that time period. This power was found out, this continent was found out by an anthropologist by the name of Anderson, who dug into the valley down in Mexico, finding a temple there. They cleared the temple out, and they were taking pictures in the temple. and the tripod for the camera got stuck by this one altar. So they were pushing on the altar between these stones to try to get it. When they pushed it, they found a box in the underneath this altar. And the altar was in the center of this large courtyard where the people used to come and worship. And when they opened this box, they found scrolls in there from Atlantis. I mean, from Lemuria. And these scrolls were deciphered. And you can get those books called the Cosmic Powers of Mu, the Children of Mu, the Lost Continent of Mu, and you can read about how Anderson found that particular material. There are many different other stories that concern that. When this continent collapsed, its people went in different directions. Some went to Mexico, some went over into Africa and up into those areas. And finally, they came, the children of the sea, so to speak. The legend of the Hawaiians say that they came from the sea. You can imagine when this continent was collapsing, the substance that floated, the people going through this very traumatic experience because their continent did collapse. They used the cosmic forces on the Earth causing a collapse of their own continent by pulling substance from underneath of the continent's surface. And as they did that, it caused a hole or a cave-like thing under this whole continent, and it fell. So there are remnants of that particular continent around. That was the first one, the first race of man that was physical in their orientation. But they weren't emotional or mental at this particular time. They were physical beings with spiritual consciousness. And so they knew the spirit was in all things, and they were one with this particular spirit. The second race manifested in a continent called Atlantis. And these beings incorporated dynamic emotional forces within the physical body. And so they had emotional and physical consciousness and spiritual awareness. And towards the end of that particular continent, as it started collapsing from a misuse again of cosmic energies and forces upon this planet, they caused a collapse of that particular continent, and there was one last part of that continent called Poseidon that went down lastly. But those people that were on that particular continent, there were some masters that were there that were masters of light, that worked in the temples of light. In fact, they could impact the light over their nervous system, run it from their feet chakra, and create a disc of light to float over the surface of the land or water or whatever the case may be. And they used to move in that particular consciousness. But the first root race was still here, and they didn't have the emotional control or the dynamic of energy that the Atlanteans had. Then you had the Adrian race, which was the third root race that came upon the planet. And they manifested power through Egypt and up through India and those areas of consciousness, bringing forth those types of powers and putting mind incorporated with man's power. So it was physical, emotional, mental energies at that particular point, plus the spiritual consciousness. As we have come to this particular root race, the fifth root race, we have taken and incorporated the physical, emotional, the mental, the psychic, creative realms in consciousness. Now, this doesn't mean these other levels did not exist. It means that each one of these chakras was developed by those root races. Each one of the chakras were developed by the root races. We put our ideas into technical knowledge through our environment, through our desires, through our actions, through technology. In fact, in the Atlantean times, this particular chakra, the will center, was overdeveloped, and it has been overdeveloped ever since. And this particular country, the United States, is overdeveloped in the will center. In fact, most of our systems, our educational systems, our political systems, all this deals with the will here, more with the will than emotions or physical level. And so we have a great overcoming to get back to our soul or our psychic abilities and powers here. There were, during this time, other planetary systems that had beings. Now, this body is made for this planet. The nose is to breathe this air. The air is to hear the ethers. The ear is to hear the ethers. While the nose breathes the air, you hear sound across the ethers. And each one of the senses deals with one of the elemental forces here upon this planet, you see. And the chemical being the taste, the water chemical state of being, the feeling, the physical, touch, you see. Each one of them deals with an element and an awareness of the element. The eyes, light, fire is the eyes. And so each one of the senses has its development for that particular element. And we have legs and arms and lungs and things like this developed for this particular planet. It just isn't the same on other planets. There are other beings that were in other types of bodies and other planets that were supposed to ascend back into God consciousness. These beings were called laggards, and they came here and started to influence the human race, who was to develop and transcend in consciousness. The Hindus have a yogic science for each one of these levels. Yoga meaning union, a science of union or becoming at one with that level. The first level is called Hatha Yoga, where it's the asanas, the movements of the physical body. And it activates this particular root center, and by different postures, the energy flows through the physical body in different ways. The second yoga that was developed, and incidentally, this yoga actually came from Lemurians. It did not come from the yogas of India themselves. It was a science that came from Lemuria. The science of Bhakti, love and devotion towards God, the highest development there. See, the highest development of the physical is to be able to manipulate the physical in a way that it doesn't dominate or take the individuality away from other physical beings. The emotional body was to exercise and use this emotional body. It was called Bhakti Yoga, or in love and devotion upwards to God. The Raja Yoga is a mental power yoga for the mind, and it was developed there by the Atlanteans. As we get into those psychic kinetic forces and that of Egyptian power, like Moses using those psychic genetic forces in nature, being able to part the sea and do things like that, hit a rock. He hit a rock and caused a fountain of water that is still flowing to this day in the desert. And so he had this power, this psychic ability, and they worked with these psychic forces and that. They developed this particular center. They were one with the environmental energies. In fact, they saw how the spirit moved through different animal forces, and so they studied the animals, and they made gods, so to speak, out of them, like the jackal. He represented the pathfinder, because they could follow the jackal through the desert, and he would take them to water, you see. And so, to drink of spirit, you would follow that pattern, you see, to follow the jackal or the pathfinder in consciousness, he would lead you to the water or the drinking of life, so to speak. So each one of these centers have their energies. Karma Yoga is here at the heart center. This means balance. This means cause and effect, action, reaction. And so this is the yogic science there at the heart. Selfless service, doing it not for yourself, but for the environment, for God, for others, you see. This way, when the energies went out, they didn't return to you. They went on. And so you were freed from your actions in that way. You were freed from the karmas that way and kept poised and balanced. Then you had mantra and japa yoga here at the throat center, which is a repetition of sound, a vibratory rate of sound, where we got the creative power. Idea is a repetition, a rhythm, a harmony. And it's always in harmony or in rhythm, in vibration. When we got up into the brow center, here we got the yoga of light, the Kundalini yoga, because we see this light, it's the light and energy that moves over the nervous system. And so we got into this yoga, and it's also called Sthira Yoga, where the spiritual powers came on to the individual. And so there are different yogi sciences to develop each one of these particular levels of consciousness. And the most advanced human beings that will come upon the planet will not be in the same type of body here. They will have a very highly developed nervous system. And if you notice now at the sixth group race of humans that are coming upon the planet, that have been coming on for some 7 to 8 years now, these little children are already very super conscious and special in their energies, and they're finding that they're having a lot of trouble in systems and in the consciousness of schools and things like this. They know how to operate mom and dad real quick. And they can, and they have this a psychic power, this knowing. It's a knowingness because they merge, they watch, they're aware, they're witnessing the consciousness there. So in each one of the teachings and each one of the sciences, there is a science for each one of these particular chakras. The science for the chakras themselves, these energy vortexes, is called Laya Yoga. And it's the study of the energy over the nervous system and through these chakras. So I study these various yogic sciences in order to understand deeper these awarenesses here. Now, in the Tibetan teachings, as I studied and worked with these various energy centers, we worked in a way of practicing a power called Tung Kru, where you come out of, in your spirit, you come out of one of these centers and merge with the substance of that particular dimension. That if you were merging with a physical dimension, you could become a rock, a tree, an animate or inanimate object, and have full consciousness of the consciousness of that. Even the smallest atom has a consciousness. The amoeba has a consciousness. It's not the developed consciousness of man. And you have to understand, man is just a one cell of life. And that seed atom, that one cell, that monad, that Atman, that spirit body, controls all the other atoms in this body. It is the original atom, and it controls all the other atoms in this particular body. And so when you're in that particular state of consciousness, you can release from this body and go into the spirit of other things. And it was called the power of Tanku, and it's still taught to this particular day in the more advanced teachings to the lamas, to the higher Buddhists, priests and things like this that have reached that point of mystical training. And so I learned it through the sound vibrations by working with the Georgian of Bell, and I created a electromagnetic atmosphere by ohming and ringing the bell and moving the Georgia. The Georgia was an object that was shaped that had four little curves on it and a pin went through it and then several little round balls, and you held it in your hand, moved it back and forth. And as you did this, you rang this bell, and you owned, first concentrating upwards, and then bringing your eyes to a half-open, half-closed stage, to where you could see the inner screen as well as seeing outwardly. At one point, you would see this blue spark of light jump from the Dorji into your nervous system in the palm of your hand. The Tibetans, having a kind of a sense of humor too, spiritual sense of humor I might say, reverse things. They call that the thunderbolt. And I remember when I first did it, I was scared that the lightning would come out of the sky and strike me and I wouldn't be able to handle it, you see. And so I was afraid of this thunderbolt really hitting me for a while, and then finally I said, okay, if it's going to take me, you see. And then at that point when I was surrendering to it, and I finally surrendered, the spark happened when it hit. One master that had all of his chakras open and balanced. Open and balanced. In moving these chakras, moving the energy through these chakras, through your energy system, through your nervous system, there's one important factor that you must begin with. You must balance your male and female polarities. You must balance your male and female polarities, your passive and aggressive side. Now, within every woman there's a man, and with every man there's a woman. There's these two forces in every being. And by degree, you are exercising these two forces. In the ancient Taoist teachings, they call it yin and yang. Mother, father, God. The Shakti and Shiva, these two particular powers, these two forces, you have to learn to balance within your consciousness. If they are not balanced, the energy will not rise in Shushumna. Shushumna is the center path, the middle of the spine.
So there are three major energies that move up the spine. Pingala, male polarity, moving up the left-hand side of the spine, but controls them in the right hand, going up to the left brain. Ida, moving up the right-hand side to the right brain, controlling the left side of the body. Shishumna, going up the middle of the spine and contacting, going over the head and out the brow. Now, I remember one time I was over on Maui and I was experiencing an initiation by a master named Saint Germain. And he had came to me and he said, go to Maui this weekend and there'll be two other people. I want you to be initiated with these two other people. Now, these two other people, I had never met one of them. I'd only met one of these other fellows. And so I didn't even know this other man was coming. And his name was Bob, and he had came from the where they did the garden and all, what it was called. So they had the garden. You know, they worked on it. Over in I think it was Scotland or Finnmore. So he came from Finnmore. He got the awareness over there. The master came to him and told him to go to Maui. Then there was a young man that was a biochemist, and he was on Maui already. So the master had talked to all three of us and sent us there, and so we went over there, and we met at Haleakala, up on the crater. Well, it was very interesting. We were to meet before the sunrise, an hour before sunrise. As we got up there an hour before sunrise, the sky turned violet. The whole sky was a very powerful violet. All the buildings looked violet, the shadows were all violet, and the people that were in the lookout up there were saying, wow, look at this violet. Well, we were all very high from being called by Saint Germain, which is a violet fire master, and we had gone up there. Well, the first thing that happened as we were standing there, as the sun was coming up, this beautiful gold ray went right across the sky and illumined a cloud that was up above us. And at that point, all three of us simultaneously turned and went out the door without a word to each other because we were impressed by spirit to move. At that point, we walked up on the ridge of Haleakala, which is a big volcanic crater there, and we stood in a trinity. And as we stood in this trinity, I noticed that there were three masters there. It was quite interesting to see these particular three masters. There was Saint Germain, Jesus, and Parabhasa Yogananda. And these three masters were standing in a trinity with us. And so I was standing there and I was looking at them, but I didn't say anything. And we prayed and we asked for unity of our trinity so that we would have power for our initiation. And as we started walking, I says, did you see who was in the circle there in our trinity? And nobody wanted to say anything first, you see. So I says, well, I saw Jesus, Saint Germain, and Paramahansa Yogananda, and they both stopped. They turn around and says, that's who we saw. We had, all three had the same awareness. Now, in two, one might put it over on the other. But with the Trinity, we had confirmation. And so that's why we were called in Trinity to go there. We had a confirmation at that particular point. So this confirmation of seeing took place for the next 2 days as we went through Haleakala Crater. As I was coming down the back side of Haleakala, down to a slide area that's on the, where you descend from 8,000 feet down to sea level, I was walking along the path, and I had to wear boots for a while, and the boots I had on, I had to cut my toenails, and they had caused both of my toenails to come off. And my feet were driving, the pain was driving me out of the body. So I was walking along like buzzing, like when you get into that energy where you're tingling, but I was walking along like that, and I noticed that walking next to me was Moses. And I looked at him, and he never said anything, he just kept walking. I just knew it was Moses. It wasn't like the pictures I saw, I didn't look anything like Charlton Heston, at all, but I knew it was Moses, and he had this staff. Well, there was no room on the path for him to walk, so he was walking in the air right along the path with me. And I says, Moses, what are you walking with me for? And with that, he took his staff and he put it over in my body. And he says, this is the rod and the staff that comforts you. This is the power. And at that moment, I had a surge of energy, went up my spine, over my head, and out my brow.
and I realized the power of the staff. Well, on his staff, he had a white dove sitting on the top of the staff. When it hit my crown center, I had an illumination. And when my third eye opened at that particular point, I found out this was the way to run energy up my spine, over my head, and out my brow, by connecting when I got to the crown chakra with God, with the spirit. And so the spirit entered in here, and then I had seeing, spiritual seeing and physical seeing at a super conscious level. I could look into things, I saw the auras of all things and things like this all came on at that particular point, very vividly and very strong. And the rod was the energy going straight up the front and straight out through the top of the head, straight into the presence or the God conscious energy that is above us, that descends, just similar to this poster over here. So energy moves through these chakras, through these energy vortexes. It is the energy over the nervous system. And that's what is causing the radiation. You are getting pure energy, pure light. Every one of you have light. Everything that is on this planet has a life. And a life duration and expectancy to it. Moving at different speeds. The consciousness of a rock moves much different than the consciousness of a human being, which vibrates very fast compared to the rock. The tree vibrates at a different speed than the rock. And each object, each substance, each form has a different vibratory rate. Even every organ in your body has its vibratory rate. And by that vibration, it causes the manifestation of substance. So heart vibrations manifest heart cells. Kidney vibrations manifest kidney cells. And so cells are dying and being born every moment in every organ. And it's through these vibrations of life substance in their various vibratory rates that you reproduce this body. It is not all vibrating at the same level. The bones vibrate different than the blood. The blood vibrates different than the nervous system. The nervous system is vibrating different than the muscles. The muscle system is vibrating different than the organs. The organs are vibrating different. And the Egyptians knew this power of the different vibratory rates of the organs in that, and they attributed a different force to each one of them. And when a pharaoh would die, they'd take each organ out and separate it and put it in a little coffin or a little thing of its own, so that it could be animated again and then reassembled, and the body could be resurrected and walk again, because they believed in the resurrection and the life. And in fact, this is part of the Christian tradition, resurrection and life. Well, they called, they wanted someone to show them, they wanted someone to have this happen in their being, in their life, and so Christ came, went through the crucifixion, was resurrected, turned to light, turned every atom to light. And he still had the power of the physical because he ate fish with his disciples after his resurrection. And he even in a crowd of 500 watched him as he walked up the mountain of transfiguration and turned to light. It was the control of light. And it was the light that controlled the light in the light. It's light that controls light. It's light that controls life. Each substance is within its field and vibration. So each one of your chakras pick up different vibratory rates. And so each one of them is giving you different powers. The base center is the solidest or the densest of vibrations. And its radiation and color, when it is attuned to the earth plane, to the light and energy that's in this planet, is vibrating in red. This energy comes in pure white light. And anybody's had a reading from me, I always tell them about the pure white light that's coming into the top of their center. And sometimes there's special things sent upon this light. Some are getting wisdom, some get truth, some get love, some get certain types of abilities and transmutation fires, and different rays come through, different symbols, different configurations, different archetype energies come down through this energy. Saint Germain said that each one of the atoms of light are like little creatures with smiling faces, and they're ready to do whatever we ask. And they're free. But humans capture them. And they hold on to them. and they hold this light in their aura. They hold this as their slave, as their power. They dominate this force instead of letting it flow. And so people hold on to things. They hold on to feelings. They hold on to ideas. They hold on to knowledge. They hold on to thoughts. They hold on to actions. They hold on to this light instead of letting it go and letting it flow. Washing yourself clean every day with light. You must do this if you're going to be healing or counseling or teaching, because everyone that comes to you, they may have a fixation of light in their auric field that is bound to one of these chakras. Now the pure white light comes in, but it's the radiance of the outward thrust of the chakra that radiates it into the aura. Radiates it out into the auric field. But within you, you start accumulating certain light forces in consciousness. But those are only held there by that one seed atom, that one speck of light, that one spark of life substance, the original atom in you, that has been coming from the point of creation to this point here, and is in its evolutionary path back to the Godhead. Well, on other planetary systems, these very atmans or spirit bodies enter different types of bodies that were made of the substance of those planets. You are in this body because it consumes this dimension. It eats of the earth, the water, the fire, the air, and the ethers. You are what you eat. You ever heard that? Well, you are what you eat emotionally. You are what you eat mentally. You are what you eat psychically. You are what you eat creatively, spiritually, individual and universal. You are what you consume. And each one of these bodies of consciousness, each one of these energies, can come to you in a flowing consciousness. Flow is prosperity. And many people hold on to things, they stop their own prosperity. If you don't have joy flowing, it's because you hung on to something that stopped the joy flow. If you don't have the clear thinking, it's because you're holding on to thoughts. You're holding on to something there that you need to excrete. You know when you eat the food, you take the life force from it, and you excrete the waste. When you have an experience, you're to experience the life of it and excrete the waste. That many of you are holding on to old thoughts, old feelings, past experiences. They are no good for your higher development. They are personality orientated. In the first three centers, these centers deal with the personality. The physical, emotional, and lower mental bodies. The physical, emotional, and lower mental bodies, or intellect, deals only with personality. And if you are thinking you are these things, you are bound in your ego, personality, self. And you will never realize spiritual consciousness in this low vibration. This is known as the lower self, the underworld. The Egyptian talked about the underworld. This is it. This was the underworld. The overworld was that beyond of the Ka. The Ba dealt with, or the personality of the body dealt with, these lower fields of consciousness. And not with the light, but dealt with elemental forces. And so as long as you're in these lower levels, you are bound to the limitations of the speed of those dimensions. You'll never vibrate fast enough to attune to the higher powers that gives the flow. When you are telling of the future, that's a flow of letting the energy flow through you that has been going on so that you can see where it's going. You see the future by looking through the past. You look through the past, from the present through the past, to see the future. The future is the law of probability. It's the rhythms of the past that will keep on going on. The vibrations of the past will keep going on unless you in the present let it go, unless you stop it now. And so these chakras can get congested with energy. They can get blocked. They can get stopped in their functions. They can get fixations, karma, stuck attention in them, and you need to run energy and light through them to free yourself. That's why every day you need to manifest a clear, positive, high aura vibration. You need to meditate every day into the white light so that you can purify yourself. After every counseling, after every healing, after every teaching, you must purify yourself, or that substance that has been released by your vibration will come to that one that released it. And so how many times have you gone to talk to somebody and you walked away with their problem? They called you up and gave you their problem because you took on, by getting in sympathy and a vibration with them, feeling it, they let go of it and you still got it. Unless you cut this free, it's going to start working on your consciousness, fixing your consciousness. How many times has mom laid her problems on you, brothers laid his problems on you, some strangers laid their problems on you, and you're going around with that vibration? You need to clear these centers every single day. The center of the heart deals with the psychic forces, environmental consciousness, the power of the soul. The soul doesn't know the limits of time and space. Where all personality is focused in sequential time, sequences, events, sequential time. The soul knows no limits to time, but it is aware of time and it's aware of spirit. This is the only center that is aware of both higher and lower energies. Your soul is the only center that is totally aware. And so you need to salvage your attention. You need salvation, you see, as the Christians say. You need salvation. You need to salvage the stuck energies out of the personality and come back to your soul. You see those sparks of light going off in this room? Those blue sparks going off. I'm seeing them. You see, that's because we're telling the truth here. The spirit of truth is coming. You see. When you have illumination, a white spark goes off. When you have wisdom, a golden spark goes off. There are different sparks of light flashing in your aura, angels giving you energy and light. One of those angels could destroy the whole city. They have the impacted power to do that. And they did in Sodom and Gomorrah. It took two of them and they destroyed that city in a power of annihilation of light, burning it and clinging to the ground, you see. And so you're always getting this help. You believe in the ministry of angels, the messengers from God to you that are step-down transformers of energy. Your nervous system is a step-down transformer of energy. Here comes the pure light. But if you've got some already fixed idea, some fixed knowledge, some fixed intellectual awareness, some fixed emotion, some fixed physical body, when it comes in, it's not going to come all the way to the physical dimension. It will never come all the way because of these blocks, these stops. And when you go to go up, you won't go any further than the stop, the block, the fixation, where the energy is bound and which center it is bound. When you go to read somebody and you sit down across from them, last night all we did was activate your heart center, your brow center, and your crown center to read. But we could have went through and activated each one of your centers. But some of you have sexual hang-ups and you would put those on people. Some of you have emotional hang-ups and you would put that on someone. Some of you got mental hang-ups and would put that on someone. So we didn't fall below the soul. We didn't want you to put that on somebody. Unless you are clear and transcendent, you will put that energy on another individual. You will cause them to have that problem. That's what it is to send, oh, I hate that dirty son of a gun, man, and start making that kind of a thought form and throw at them. And next thing you know, they got this rotten feeling, discoordinated energies in that. I've had people here in this very place, in this area, throw discoordinated psychic energy at me. And I'd go out to get on the freeway, end up going the wrong way. And I've lived in this Bay Area for 20 years off and on. And I know these cities and these roads and things out here. But I've had them throw it on me since I've been here in this time. How do you respond? Do you say, okay, let me charge this thing up and blast them back? You see? One time I did that. One time that's the way I did it. If somebody gave me something, I charge it up and send it back tenfold, a hundredfold. I'd blow them up. Because when they were touching me, I was touching them. You can't touch your hand with this finger without the finger touching the hand touching the finger.
This is touching this, this is touching this. When you touch somebody with your mind, they're touching you. When you touch them with your emotions, they're touching you. When you touch them with your body, they're touching you. You see, when you touch them with your soul, they're touching you. When you touch them with your creativity, they're touching you. Whatever you're touching them with, there is a touching, a joining, a going together there. That's outer. Inside, you're already all touching. You're in one human spirit. You are one spirit of God, experiencing through these individual creations. This is the consciousness you must ascend to your greater self, to your mystical powers, to your spiritual powers, to your purity as a being in consciousness. And you can only do this by having clear, balanced centers. So this male and female polarity must come into being. How many times you had, oh, great ideas, great ideas, but you didn't. You had a lot of assertive energy there, but you didn't have the assertive energy on the physical to carry it out. You didn't go out and assert yourself to put that great idea into being. And then someone comes up and invents it and say, oh, I thought of that. Why didn't I invent it? You see? Oh, I could have did that. All the could have beens and has beens are no good. It's what you are. I am right now. And so in the I am consciousness, you are always present, always free-flowing. There is nothing bound. The past is past. The future is not yet. You're free now. And when you're reading, I'm sitting here. I have no body. I have no emotions. I have no mind. All I have is a voice coming through, reflecting the vibrations upon the clarity of my consciousness back to the individual. And I've seen a lot of psychics. They reflect back the spiritual energy that they're getting, but also their personality energy, what they think it should be. And I've seen a lot of psychics lay tricks on people because they let the pollution of the personality pollute their soul. What they think, what they feel, what they would do. Well, I would do this if I was you. It's a terrible statement because you are not you. You would have to be that being. You cannot be that being because that is an individual, indivisible. Indivisible being. You cannot be cut, you cannot be burnt, you cannot be hurt by anything. You are eternal, ever-existent being, pure consciousness, God experiencing. Are you truly in this awareness? Is it a bunch of words? Is it an intellectual knowing? Oh, I know a lot. When I was first on the path, I read lots of books. I knew lots of things. I could quote all kinds of things. But was I really putting those things into my life and experiencing them? But I found a better way immediately. I started throwing out the old way and do the new way. I was salvaging my stuck attention. When I was a child, I did childish things. When I got to be an adult, I put away childish things. Are you putting away childish things? Are you trying to use, pardon, you trying to use the same system again, over and over again? The same emotional tones, the same intellectual systems to get your way in consciousness? Are you there really open heart? Is your heart really open? Or are you fixed in your mind, emotions, and body? Because you are. If you are, your soul is bound. Your soul is in bondage. Your spirit cannot experience because of the fixation of the power of this lower triad, these lower centers. Male and female polarity, inner and outer movement, up and down movement. All of the movements of the chakras must be totally free at every moment. So you must flush them with light. You must clear them with light. You must take a spiritual shower every day by charging your life body, your consciousness, your mind, your physical, emotional, and mental bodies with light. That's what the ritual's about. That's what the morning meditation's about. Are you cleansing yourself? You wouldn't go 2 or 3 weeks or a month without taking a shower, my friend. People would say, you're a stinker. Well, there's a bunch of spiritual stinkers around, you see. Because they haven't cleansed themselves spiritually. And I'll tell you, they react out of your vibrations. They react out of your vibrations. Don't you react out of the vibrations of others? They don't even have to say anything. There's certain people you just don't want to go around because of their dirty mind, their dirty emotions, their dirty actions. You see, their dirty knowledge, their filthy creative power. You see,
You don't want to be around those kind of people because they are holding on to dirt. They are stopping the truth of life abundant. I come to give you life more abundant, Christ said. I come to give you life more abundant. When your consciousness is free, life flows free. When your consciousness is bound, life is bound. And so unbind yourself, throw off the shackles of your body, emotions, and mind, and to ascend first into the soul power, psychic abilities, but you're only halfway up the spine. If you stop there, I get it from psychics all the time. They get mad as hell, I say, at me for saying that. Hell's down here. Hell's being bound. Hell is having to go through the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And having the same problem. You solve it, next thing you know, it's popping up again. You think you got it solved, over here it comes again. That's hell, my friend. That's what it is, this lower field. And when you're stuck in it, you're bound in it, you keep going over and over. The heaven is within, heaven is within, heaven is in the higher fields. If you understand the true metaphysical meaning of heaven and earth, this is earth out here, heaven is within you, God is within you. Do you ever hear those statements? Do you really believe that? Do you really sense that? How long has it been since you've been in you? How long since you've been within? How long since you've gone in and in and in and gave up all your attachments, your ideas, your thoughts, your feelings, your actions towards this physical dimension, found in it? How long since your body's been at peace? How long since your emotions have been at peace? How long since your mind has been at peace? How long since you've let peace flow through your soul, to your mind, your body, and your emotions? Or are they always in action? You're laying there in bed and your body's quivering, your feet is wiggling, you're tossing and turning all night long. How long since you woke up in the same position you lay down in? How long? That means you haven't had freedom that long. How long? How long have you woke up with it and went to bed with a problem, woke up with the same problem? How long has that been? And you felt tired because the bodies didn't get to separate, go back to their substance to be balanced. Each one of them in meditation, conscious sleep. In a conscious sleep, you know what conscious sleep is? How long since you've had a conscious sleep? Or have you gone unconscious all these years? When are you going to wake up? Wake up. Wake up to the glory of your being. The height of your spiritual being. You're much greater than you think. That which is in you is greater than that's in the world. You see, it's much greater. Why do you sacrifice your greatness for the petty consciousness of a personality that wants to bind you? You are to use the personality and enjoy the world. I found in the Krishna teachings, they called Krishna the manifestation of the personality of the Godhead. And here he was out there creating and playing flutes, and he was out there dancing with the babies and the girls and all of this kind of thing, and he was tripping through the fields and all this, you see. And one day the Lord of Chaos had taken over the universe, and he had control over everything. And Krishna manifests himself as a little boy. He says, "Oh Lord of Chaos, can I just have the land? Can I have just what I take one step on?" And the Lord of Chaos said, "Okay,